Thank the Lord for the opportunity to be in service again tonight. Thankful for, to see each one out. My thoughts over the last couple of weeks have been about maybe where we have come from as a society, thinking about from the beginning of time, where we've come in the advancement of technology, from the Stone Ages to a couple hundred years ago to just maybe 20 or 30 years ago. Thinking of the conveniences that we experience, that we are a part of, the things that we have in our day-to-day lives that make our lives easier, that makes life easier to deal with. Transportation needs, we're able to get from here to there faster. We have things that are at our disposal pretty much whenever we want them, and it's there for the taking. We've made leaps and bounds in technology. Just all these things of how we have gone from where we've come from to where we are now. And man, there's a lot of credit can be given to man. Man has done many wondrous things, many things that I'll never understand. But with all these advancements in technology and all these things, I feel like it has led us as a nation, as a society, to maybe a place where, maybe a place of self-dependency. It has led us to the thoughts that I can do it, or you can do it, and we can do it whenever we want to, whenever we need to. I don't need anybody to tell me how to do this. But if I want it bad enough, and I work hard enough, I can have it. I can get it. I can acquire this thing if I'm willing to put in the time and effort. In a sense, I guess that's true. But as we have made those advancements, if we have come to the place that we see where we're at now, I look and I see, it appears to me, that God has slowly gotten squeezed out of the picture as time has gone on. We've given less thought as to how God has helped us and as how God provides for us. And I'm not referencing us in here, but as a nation, as a society, as a whole. But I can't help but wonder if in the past we have given God more credit than we do now. We seem to be so reliant on others. We seem to be reliant on our leaders. And in a sense, we need to be. We're expected to be. But I feel we're so heavily influenced by opinion. We hear someone that has a name, someone that is popular, and it seems that as though if they have an opinion or they state their opinion, then they have a great following that can become of that opinion as well. I feel that as a nation, we need to come to the place where we give God the credit that He deserves. I think of what Paul said. We won't turn there, but I believe it was in Philippians. So I'm not sure what chapter. But God was talking to the brethren there, and He said, "My God will supply all of your needs." He looked at the brethren. He was letting them know. He's like, "You know what? I've been in some tough places. I've been in some affliction. I've been financially. I've needed some financial help. And it's because of you and how God has worked through you that God has supplied my needs. And I want to remind us tonight, before I get to this thought that I have on the board, that let us never forget, as we go through life, and no matter where we are 10 years from now, no matter where we are 15, 20 years from now, no matter how much more we make advancements in technology or what nicer vehicles we are going to drive in the future, that we always give credit where credit is due. And that is to God. And that He is supplier of all our needs. As Paul said, my God will supply all of my needs. If you have found yourself with a hot meal, it's because God gave somebody somewhere the wisdom and the understanding to know how to plant a seed, where to plant it, when to water it, when to harvest it. If you have found yourself in an automobile driving to service tonight, it's because God gave somebody somewhere, an engineer, somebody, a vision of something, and He gave people the ability to get up and put things together, to design things, and to know how to make things work. So, as we experience all of these wonderful things, let's give credit where credit's due. And as much as we feel that our needs have been supplied, and our needs, I feel, especially us, our needs are supplied. And as much as we have those thoughts and we know that our needs are supplied, I believe that we as a people, as a nation, and us here in this building, and all children of God, as much as we have our needs supplied, we are still in need. We are still a needy people. We need to find ourselves in need. We need to find ourselves in need of God. We need to find ourselves at a place that we can come before God and that we can realize our needs, and that we can realize He will supply those needs. Because we are going to still find ourselves in circumstances, in situations in lives. We're going to find ourselves facing things. We're going to have questions. We're going to have those times when we don't have anywhere to turn. And all those people that have helped us to advance to where we are now, all those people that have gone before us and come up with these great and wonderful inventions, when we as a people come to these places in life that we see the needs of our soul, we see these places in our life, these dark places, these times we need answers, there's a time that we're going to have to come before the Lord, because these people, they're good at what they do, but there's something there's a lot that they can't do. They have done many wonderful things. But let's keep our attention focused on the One that can supply all of our needs. So we come before the Lord. Well, let me back up. We see our needs. The Lord shows us in life those things, where we're at in life, where we're going. We realize these things. And what do we do? Well, hopefully, as we should, we come before the Lord. We bring these things to Him, hopefully humbly. And then what? We bring these to Him when we ask Him to help in this situation, to bless in this situation, to give us wisdom and whatever it is we're facing. And what do? We sit back and wait. With anticipation that He is going to answer. We expect that He will answer. And sometimes He does that. And thank the Lord for those times. But sometimes He doesn't. Sometimes He doesn't respond. He might wait, but there may be times that He doesn't respond as quick as we think He should, or in the way that we think He should. Sometimes He responds in ways that might leave questions, that might leave us wondering, what's God thinking? What's going on? Be careful. Be careful that we not begin to get ourselves in a place that we start to question God, but that we keep in our minds that God's way is best and that He has our best intentions at heart and He knows exactly what we need in life. So I've written on the board, fed by ravens. And I'm sure most of you know what I'm referring to. Story of Elijah, 1 Kings 17. I think of Elijah. He's kind of one of those I think of as many others, but kind of a Bible hero. Many, many stories when I think of his name, I think of those events. The prophets of Baal, where he prayed and God sent fire down from heaven. I think of the prayed for the widow's son, came back to life. He prayed for rain after the drought. The Lord blessed Elijah in many ways. He did these wonderful things we like to read about. But I think of, what did Elijah have to go through before those stories? What is some places, or what is a place that God brought Elijah through before those stories? Well, we find in 1 Kings 17 where the story, God sent Elijah to the brook, told him to wait there, and we'll read it, and he was fed by the ravens. So 1 Kings 17, just read a few verses here, verses 2 through 6. And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, Get thee hence, and turn thee eastward, and hide thyself by the brook Cherith, that is, before Jordan. And it shall be that thou shalt drink of the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to feed thee there. So he went and did according unto the word of the Lord, for he went and dwelt by the brook Cherith, that is, before Jordan. And the ravens brought him bread and flesh in the morning, and bread and flesh in the evening, and he drank of the brook. I don't know how Elijah looked at this situation, but if you will allow me just a little bit of liberty to look at it through my eyes, and the way I perceive it, and the way I think maybe Elijah perceived it, God sent Elijah to this brook. He gave him specific instructions. Go hang out by this brook, camp there. The brook will be your water supply. So Elijah goes. I think God said, go hide by the brook. So Elijah's hiding. I wouldn't think that was the most comfortable situation to be in. If I'm hiding from something, I'm looking over my shoulder. I'm kind of maybe tense. I'm not at ease. I'm putting my own thoughts here. But Elijah goes and he hides by the brook. He gets thirsty and he gets his water from the brook. But I can maybe see old Elijah one morning, maybe waking up and kind of feeling a little hunger pain. And then, how's he fed? By ravens. Now, I can't find anywhere in here where it says Elijah complained about the situation he was in. And I'm not insinuating at all that he complained. But I can't help but wonder if I'm laying there in the morning or if I've went through a hard day and I get a hunger pain, that a raven's going to bring me some food. I remember growing up looking at or reading this story or having it read to me out of a Bible storybook. And it seems quite often that the one who illustrated that picture, I remember it being, for the most part, there's a big boulder, and Elijah may be sitting on that boulder, and a little stream in the background, some nice pretty grasses and some nice foliage growing up. And I remember seeing the picture in one case where Elijah is just kind of holding his hand up, got a big smile on his face, and there these birds are handing him some food. Maybe that's the way it was. I don't know. I wasn't there. But I have my doubts. For one thing, we're in time of drought, so I don't know how much green foliage there was. Let me tell you a little bit about a raven. Our first mention of a raven, I believe, is when Noah sent one out of the ark. Now, if you do a little bit of research, this is not biblical at all, but if you do a little bit of research, I don't think the raven returned, did he? Did the raven not return? And the thought behind that is because the raven had plenty to eat when it left the ark. There was lots of stuff floating around. Lots of dead stuff. Lots of carcasses. Not to get too graphic, but maybe even some human carcasses floating around in that receding, nasty flood water. Another mention very shortly thereafter of a raven is in Leviticus chapter 11. And here we have a list of some birds that the Lord is calling unclean. And he goes on to mention eagle, a couple others, and then he mentions a raven. But not only does he call this bird unclean, he also goes on to say in that chapter that this bird is an abomination. So this is not a bird that was looked on, that was definitely not considered for food, and I'm not insinuating Elijah ate a raven, but it's not a bird that you would typically assume that somebody wanted to have any kind of association with. I printed off a little paragraph with how we perceive ravens today. It said, ravens are large black birds, closely related to crows. The main difference is that ravens are bigger, with a wingspan that reaches about 50 inches. It goes on to say where they can be found. Biologists consider them to be extremely intelligent. But that is not their most notable characteristic. Ravens are scavengers. They eat berries, fruits, insects, bread, and the flesh of dead animals. They sometimes kill small birds and mammals such as rabbits and rats. They have given us a word that describes a person so hungry that he will eat anything. And such a person is called to be ravenous. Did I say that right? Ravenous. So not a bird that I would expect to see feeding me my two meals a day. I can't help but wonder when Elijah sees this thing flying to him, and I assume that Elijah knew what the Lord had said about ravens. I find this a situation where Elijah could have found himself complaining, maybe it says the ravens brought bread, but maybe eating that bread and then get a piece of flesh dropped down to him and wondering where this piece of flesh come from. And then maybe eating that flesh, kind of like the children in the wilderness, how they got tired of the manna and they started complaining about the manna. We don't see any record of that. But if I were in Elijah's shoes, I'm going to look at this piece of meat and I'm going to wonder where it come from. Maybe the Lord calls the lady somewhere to cook a steak and the birds just come and got it. But maybe not. You know? And over time, if I'm eating this, I might start wanting a different flavor. There's plenty here that Elijah could have looked at this situation and become disgusted, wondering where the ravens getting their food. But he didn't do that. Because you know what? It didn't matter. Because God was providing this for him. God said, go to the brook and you can have your water. And he said, I'm going to feed you 2 times a day by a raven. It doesn't matter where it comes from. It doesn't matter where they get the bread from. It doesn't matter if it's roadkill, if it's a hot squirrel that somebody just got through cooking. It doesn't matter because I'm the one providing it for you and I'm going to take care of you. So trying to relate this to us in this day and time. Do I ask? Do I seek the Lord for things? Do I expect the Lord to carry me through those places, to lead me to those places, and then become dissatisfied with the way He chooses to provide? Again, the Lord is going to provide. There are times He's going to provide in a way that we think He should. But there are many times He's going to provide in ways that we don't understand or that we can't get a hold of. I have found myself before seeking the Lord for something, for answers, and almost instantaneously, the Lord will send something down or reveal it to me in a certain way. And almost, it seems there are times He does give us things. He does respond and give us things and lets us enjoy things and provides for things on a silver platter and everything's wonderful and everything's going the way I think it should go. But then there are times that He might choose to feed us by a raven. From things that, well, Lord, you said earlier this was an abomination. What are you thinking? A raven? And you, just over the hill there, man, I see a little hut right over there. And man, there, it looks like they got a fire going. And man, you want me to camp out by the brook? And you want to give me some food with a raven? What about that place over there? Why can't I go over there? No, the Lord said, go here. So Elijah went there. The Lord provided and fed him by a raven. So we come before God. We bring Him these things. And we say we know, we do know, that God will provide all our needs. That He is an all-knowing God. He's an all-powerful God. That He can do anything. We know this. But we get put in these tough places in life. And it's easier, one of them things that's maybe easier said than done, to put our faith in God that He will provide. But who are we to question the Almighty? Who are we to question the way that the Lord wants to provide, the way the Lord wants to supply our needs? You know, this may not have been an ideal situation for Elijah. In my eyes, it wasn't an ideal situation. I assume in God's eyes it was. That's the way the Lord meant for it to be, and that's the way it happened. But we're not, as we go through life and we find ourselves in these circumstances and we see these things going on around us, things that we can't control, things that are taking place in the world around us, we're not always going to be in those ideal situations. We're going to have to be in the thick of things sometimes. We're going to have to be in some tough places in life. And if it's those times and those things that the Lord wants to use to feed us, to help us grow, to help us grow in Him and to make progress in our spiritual life, then we're going to have to be willing to go through those places and be willing to accept the however the Lord chooses to feed us and to provide for us. I was just as recent as about a week ago, I found myself in a very tough place. A very, maybe one of the toughest places I've ever been in. And wasn't really too much I could do about it. Things were just unfolding, taking place. Things were just happening. And I began to kind of get upset. I let some feelings come over me. Maybe some feelings of anger, maybe that I shouldn't have let come over me. But it was just a tough place, a tough situation to be in. I wanted at that time to get up and leave that place. But as much as I wanted to, I felt like the Lord kind of just told me to tough it out and to stay there and endure it. Well, eventually, I had my opportunity to leave. And I left. And for a few days, I questioned the Lord. And I asked the Lord, it's hard to let you feel it the way I felt it without revealing what it was, and I don't feel that appropriate, but I felt that everything I knew and loved about my Lord and what I believe in, I felt that situation that I was in, I felt like it came under attack and there was nothing I could do about it. There was nothing I could say. There was nothing I could do to make that situation better. So I came away from that situation questioning the Lord. And I had lots of questions. I kind of hang my head. I had lots of anger when I was in that moment. And I had to ask the Lord. I said, Lord, what was your reason of permitting me to be in that place? What was your reason for letting the things take place that took place? And I think that's one of those things that we may not always understand. I think that's one of those things that we have to look at. We might scratch our heads over it. And that's one of those things that we just have to say, Lord, you know what's best. I believe there are things, unpleasant things. I believe there are things that take place in this life that we're going to have to go through. That may not be of God. That may not be things that may not be of His Spirit. We look around in the world of politics today. It was mentioned this morning. Things as, for example, abortion. Things that are taking place every day that we find ourselves in the middle of. And there's nothing we can do about it except pray. But are them things there? Is there a possibility for us to get something out of those things? Is there something we can take away from that? Even though that thing may not have been the right way to do something? I think there is. So I left that situation, and I believe the Lord showed me. I believe He helped me to look at that situation in plain and simple and say, this is not how I work. This is not how I do things. And I looked at that as a lesson learned. Folks, there are going to be those times when we go through those places that we don't want to be in. And we don't understand why the Lord has, I'm not going to say led us there, but has allowed us. Those places in life that the Lord has allowed us to be in. And it does. It raises questions. But Lord, help us to be willing to accept the things, not that we have to accept what's taken place, but that we can accept the places the Lord allows us to be in and what He wants us to get out of those situations. If things happen, it's because the Lord has allowed those things to happen. If we find ourselves in places in life that are tough, that I don't know how I can make it through this, nothing happens unless God allows it to happen. He is the one that holds this place together. He is the creator of all things. He allows all things. We may not always understand what God is trying to do, where He's trying to lead, or what He is trying to accomplish. But Lord, help us to be able to leave it in His hands. If that's the way He intends for me to get something, if that's the way He intends for you to be fed by something, by circumstances, by tough places in life, then who are we to question God? Who are we to question the way God chooses to work? We are a needy people. We are a needy people. But we serve a God who is faithful, who has been faithful, who has proved Himself faithful. And what does God want in return? He wants a people that doesn't complain. I find no record of where Elijah complained about the situation he was in. And I'll say again, if this would have been me in this situation and I had this bird that feeds on roadkill bringing me food, I can't say I wouldn't have complained, because I complain about things now that don't compare to what Elijah had to go through. Lord, help me not to complain about the situation and the circumstances I find myself in life. Lord, help us to never forget that God, the one that we claim to have faith in, the one that we claim to say that God's way is best and He knows best, help us to never forget that God's way is best and that God knows best. As we have no record of Elijah complaining, we also have no record of Elijah getting sick from anything he ate, from anything he drank. God, we don't serve a God who is going to intentionally lead us into harm's way. We serve a God that if He is going to allow you to be somewhere, He's going to provide a way for you to get through that. He's going to provide the means for you to be able to come out of that and look back at that and say, oh, that's what the Lord wanted me to get out of that. Oh, He didn't want me to eat this big juicy steak. He wanted the ravens to bring it to me. You know, there are times I love to go out to eat, and I love a big hot meal, and I love for somebody just to bring it to me and set it in front of me, and then they can take care of the dishes, and man, everything's going great, and man, it's wonderful. But you know what? Sometimes the Lord just wants me to go home and eat a cold ham sandwich, and it might not be what I want at the time. It might not be what I think the Lord should give me at the time. I don't want no ham sandwich. I had some of that last week, but Lord, help me be willing to accept what You want to give me when You want to give it to me. So my prayer is for myself and for you that in those times that I find myself in those situations in the future, any tough place, any time that I want to complain or question the way God chooses to work or how He chooses to teach me something, is that I can, at that time, in the moment, and that's what's hard about it, is in the moment, is that I can step back and say, Lord, here I am. This is what You're allowing right now. This is the tough spot You've allowed me to be in. Yes, pray through those situations. The Lord will help you out of those situations. But so many times it's like streams in the desert. We find the blessings in the trials. It's those times that we're in the trial, we're in the tough place that it is. I have to admit, it's hard to see through that. And see God and see what am I supposed to be getting out of this thing. And instead, no, we always wouldn't just pray ourselves out of it. Pray about it. The Lord can help you out of that thing. Yes, do that. But as we look at that and as we pray for Him to get us out of those, let's also be of the mind that we can pray, Lord, however You want to feed me. Lord, whatever You want me to go through, if You want a bird to bring it to me, then let a bird bring it to me, Lord. And I want us to be thankful, Lord. Thank You. Thank You for providing. God is faithful. I thank God for being faithful. I thank Him for all He does. He has supplied above and beyond our needs and what we need. We have more than we need. And don't forget that everything, no matter how, where we go from here into the future, as much as man has been able to accomplish, it all comes from God. It all factors back to God being the provider of everything. And Lord, help us to keep a hold of that when things seem great, when things are going, when everything's all beautiful. And it's easy to see that, thank the Lord. But when things are tough and it's hard to see those things, Lord, help us to still realize that He is the provider and the supplier of all our needs, and no matter what situation. Y'all pray for me.